There was something about Jesus. There's no two ways about it. In Jesus' encounters with the chief priests and the scribes, with police, Pharisees, and ultimately with Roman soldiers and Pilate himself, Jesus always challenged people. They weren't sure quite what to do with him. And not only that, Jesus always got some sort of reaction. You could never be lukewarm toward Jesus. When Jesus calls his disciples, we don't hear stories of them simply saying that they'd rather not. We don't hear stories of people checking the latest sports scores while Jesus is speaking to the crowds. No, Jesus is going to get a reaction. And this is where this reaction leads us to today. Jesus has confronted and agitated the religious leaders in Jerusalem and beyond to the point where they have decided that the only solution to silencing him is to get rid of him permanently. He's inconvenient. He challenges their authority and thus endangers their comfortable living. He's dangerous. He attracts large crowds, and where large crowds gather in Jerusalem, so do Roman soldiers. And where Roman soldiers gather, violence often follows. So, in some ways, from the perspective of the chief priests, they were doing their part to keep the peace. The fact that their position is made more secure through arresting Jesus and handing him over to Roman authorities to be executed is simply an added bonus. And yet, Jesus wasn't done causing strong reactions in people. Indeed, as Jesus is carted off to Pontius Pilate, we find that his very presence is enough to cause not just anger, not just joy or hope, but also fear. Pilate finds himself caught up in this whirlwind of Jewish politics during the most holy of times for the Hebrew people, and he finds himself ill-equipped to confront what is happening. He wasn't forced to learn about the Jewish faith when he was assigned to this small backwater province of Judea. He has underlings to take care of those issues. But now he finds himself thrust in the middle of a religious conflict. And the accused is none too cooperative. And that just doesn't make any sense. You would think that one who regularly put the Pharisees to shame, one who could make people experience the love of God like never before, could easily talk his way out of this. And over again, when asked to respond to these accusations made by the priests and the scribes, Jesus says, nothing. Not a word in his defense. Instead, Jesus questions the motivations and the listening ability of those around him. He puts the words of those who might actually work to free him against themselves, entrapping them instead of allowing them to aid him. It seems Jesus knew what was coming next. And as we hear this story being told, as we encounter once again in Scripture the chief priests and the police in a frenzy demanding that Jesus die, we realize that perhaps nothing Jesus would have said would have mattered. The fix was in. Jesus was being railroaded. The mob needed a person to suffer for their insecurity and their anger. It didn't matter if Jesus actually had done something wrong. What mattered was that he was troublesome. He didn't fit with the plan. And so they would rather see a bandit freed because a bandit at least was predictable. Jesus of Nazareth couldn't be predicted or controlled. Not much has changed for us, has it? And there are times when this Jesus person has been extremely inconvenient for us. There are times where it's easier for us to say to Jesus, you need to go, than to listen patiently. It's easier because if we were to truly listen to Jesus, then we would have to give control to somebody else. we would have to give up our own comfortable living. Being a follower of Jesus isn't easy. It makes me wonder if maybe, just maybe, had we been there that day that Jesus was being accused, we might have just kept our mouths shut. Because to open them takes risk. And yet, even on the path of the cross, Jesus doesn't stop challenging people. Jesus doesn't stop changing lives. Jesus doesn't stop making people think, pushing them to react to him. Because the cross of Christ is the ultimate injustice for our sakes. It is the ultimate sign of the brutality of the world, of the potential triumph of self-interest over God's intention for our lives. And on that cross, all our own self-interest also hangs. And those that could see an injustice was being done could do nothing but react. Jesus himself responds to the injustice of this moment in his being an example of our world gone wrong by instead doing something right, something charitable. Now we are told in the Gospel of John that he saw the disciple whom he loved near his mother, Mary. And Jesus tells his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then to his disciple he says, "Here is your mother." Even in these moments of pain, Jesus is creating a new paradigm of caring for one another. Christ on the cross is still an example of humble love despite all consequences, and also an example of the destructive power of sin and self-interest in our world. So where does that leave us? We're not perfect. We've already established that we would probably be guilty of being silent in the face of this injustice if not actively a part of the mob. We are guilty, all of us. And our guilt now hangs on that cross with the one who would set us free from our guilt and shame. And now, nothing can be said. Silence is all we have. For Christ dies on a cross. There is no good news for us this day. We need to wait another day for that. For the Lord of life confronts death this day. And the trajectory of our earthly lives toward the grave is carried to the tomb with Christ our Lord. And where he is buried, perhaps hope may be found.